In the course of the Sunday reading cycle, you probably know the first reading is chosen in such a way to, in some way, match the gospel or to lead into the gospel, but not so the second reading. The second reading we start, we're in the Thessalonians now, we started it several weeks ago, and we just go through part by part until we move on to a new epistle. But today, the second reading provides the perfect lens that we need to think about the gospel. Because St. Paul says to the Corinthians, or to the Thessalonians, that they don't need to be written about this, but he's still writing them to remind them that they are children of the light and of the day, and they already know that the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. But when you're a child of the light, you're not worried about that because it's not the night for you, because you have the light of Christ within you. And so I think that provides a good way to look at this parable the Lord is telling about the talents. Now, the first thing we have to pay attention to with the talents is that these are things that the three men did not have on their own. Sometimes this gets reduced to, you have certain talents and you're supposed to give your talents back to God. But that wasn't what happened in the story. There's a free gift made of something that they did not have. And St. Jerome says, that's grace. It wasn't something that they were so deserving of, but it was the free gift of God given to them to be received and to be returned, to be multiplied. And that's a powerful thing to think about. Now, it might seem then, why does one get five and the other three, two, and the other one? But if you think about it just from a sanctity point of view, from the saints already in heaven, there's no one who has the same amount of grace as the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then St. John the Baptist and St. Joseph. So throughout the history of time, God gives different people different graces so that they can fulfill what he has called them to do. That's an important part of why we've received grace first to be saved, but he gives us everything that we need so that we can be saints. Sometimes I think as Catholics, we look at sanctity or holiness as something we hope we have just enough so we can get into purgatory. But that's not the way the Lord wants it to be done, because that's not the way he gives us his grace. It's not something that he meets out like a miser. It's something bountiful that's poured into the soul to help us to live the life we're called to live. And that's not easy. One of the things that we always have to keep in mind is that we're given the grace we need for the times we live in. I remember it has been about 10 years ago, I was complaining about something to a friend, something ecclesial, and he said to me, after I went on for however many minutes, he finally was tired and said, and that's keeping you from being a saint, how? And I said, oh, be quiet. But the point was true. Am I going to let something of the events that I live in, of my time, keep me from being a saint? Because woe to me if I would do that. Because the Christian way to look at it is, whatever trial or tribulation we face, either individually or in a family or in a parish or in a diocese or in the whole world, there's not one event that happens on this earth that should keep me from being a saint. And the reason we know that is because the cross is part of sanctity. So we can't look over here and say, well, if I just had his gifts, I could be holier. Or if I had what they had, I could be a better Catholic. We have to say, I'm called to be a saint within the midst of what I live. And there again, that's where the saints are such a beautiful example to us. And I'd like to give two. The first, we celebrated her feast day this week. One of the few saints named the Great, Gertrude the Great. Now, in a certain way, she would have every reason not to seek holiness. She was an orphan and was raised in a convent. And to think of what being an orphan is, never knowing her parents, not growing up with the love of a mother and a father, and yet she's called the great because of her great sanctity. A lady once told me she also was an orphan and the circumstances were sad. Her parents died in a car wreck when she was about 6 or 7 years old, the oldest of four. And she said, even knowing that, I always had this longing to know my parents. And so I always think of that when I think of St. Gertrude, that the events of her life didn't keep her from sanctity, but they drove her on. They impelled her to sanctity. And the other example is the one much more close to us, for a certain age anyways, Pope St. John Paul II. From the time he was 9 years old, it seemed like every several years, all he knew was tragedy. His sister died before he was born. His mother died when he was around 9. His brother died when he was in his teens. And then his dad died before he was 20 years old. All of those events could have put him on a path of despair and brokenness. And all it did was impel him to seek the grace of God and to give a return on it. Now, those are two big examples. They're canonized saints. But I think if you think about people in your own family and your own friends, you know someone who has received the grace of God and they've made the return. Because that's one of the beautiful parts about how God gives grace. When you receive grace and you use it the way it was supposed to be used, then he gives you more. Which is why he said in the parable, to the one who has much, more will be given. Because you did what you were supposed to with it. And it's such an important thing to remind ourselves, I suspect even daily, that we can be saints. Not because I'm so good or you're so good, but because the Lord has given his grace and because of his most powerful love. He wants us to be saints. And so today, when we listen to this parable, keeping in mind St. Paul, we are children of the light and of the day, and we have nothing to be afraid of. We have to receive from the Lord who loves us the grace that he offers, and then make the return. This is what you give me, and I give it back to you, hopefully doubled. And then we wait, so that we can hear those wonderful words, "Come, share your master's joy."